You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome. This is the place here on LA Talk Radio where you can find out more about you, how to fix some of your issues, how to feel better, how to just get through life feeling good in general. That's what I do. I'm your friendly psychologist. And as always, I have a special guest today who is going to help you feel better, I think, after we chat. It's all good stuff. And also, I invite you to call in if you have any questions, for my guest. You can do so. The number here live on the air is 323-203-0815. That number again right here in the Los Angeles area, 323-203-0815. And of course, what you can do is email me if you're shy and you don't want to get your voice on the air. That email address is docmichelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. And so today we're talking about so many different things in your life, about you. Do you guys sometimes wake up and say, no, another day of my boring or stressful job that I don't get paid enough for, or I'm still trying to find a job? Oh my gosh, here's my relationship I have to deal with, and I have to deal with all these people around me I don't like, and I have to fake it all the time. I mean, can you imagine being authentically happy no matter what? Guys, really? Come on, Michelle. I know I'm going to get the emails. I'm going to get them. Lose your job? Okay. Maybe a relative passes on. What gifts did he or she give you, and how can you immortalize their memory by growing those gifts and passing them on to others? Oh, I hear this one all the time. The husband or the wife cheats on you. Well, now his or her unfaithful heart is exposed. So it's your turn to take a next step into an authentic relationship. Or not. You can remain happy throughout, navigating life's challenges from a position of unshakable confidence. I know you're thinking, okay, yeah, right. Come on, I'm living the life here. The American dream. Right. Right. You know, I've had so many patients who said, but how can I change my thinking when the pain of my early upbringing, my parents who abused me, or my husband's or wife's cheating, or I have no money, the company fired me because they're barely hanging on financially. How can I be happy when there's terrorists out there and people like Edward Snowden exposing the scary lies of the government secrets and how they invade our privacy at the click of a mouse? You know, how would you like to experience wonder and awe, adventure, discovery, eagerness, surprise? Remember all that stuff when you were a kid, guys? You kind of, sort of remember? Is it vague? You have these little, as we call them, flashbulb memories when you were a child of those good and happy times, maybe fun times playing with your friends or going out having ice cream with your parents or your caregivers. Well, today we're going to find out how to break away and wake up from a lot of negative feelings and sort of get in touch with being awake again. With my guest, Master Charles Cannon. And he's going to be talking about his latest book. It's called Awakening from the American Dream, From Crisis to Consciousness. And I also want to mention that Will Wilkinson is a co-writer of this book and contributed quite nicely as well. By the way, you guys might have heard me talk to Master Charles Cannon before. I had him on my show talking about his earlier book, Forgiving the Unforgivable. Yeah, he's a modern spiritual teacher. He has so many wonderful stories to share and experiences and inspirational ideas to help you. I'd like Master Charles to tell you about how he and 22 colleagues survived the 2008 Mumbai terrorist attacks, just briefly, just to recall, you know, sort of what he's gone through and his spiritual transformation. But he's on the line with us right now. Master Charles Cannon, welcome to The Couch.
Thank you very much, Dr. Michelle. Always a delight to be with you.
Well, you're great, and I always love having you on the show. Your books are amazing.
Thank you.
Your books are so inspiring. They really are. And this one is no exception. It's really going to help out a lot of people. And I really encourage you guys to listen throughout the show and also to replay and download the show when it will be available tomorrow so you can get really more ideas. Hear this again and again. And also check out his website, how you can get the book. It's called Awakening from the American Dream, From Crisis to Consciousness. So we're going to talk about how to awake slowly, how we can unfold. But can you just briefly recap how you survived? This is such an amazing story. I just would like to throw this out there. Those 2008 Mumbai terrorist attacks. And you unconditionally forgave the man who murdered two of your best friends. How? My gosh. Master Charles, how did you do that?
Well, I have lived the spiritual life for most of my 70 years and practiced the holistic lifestyle and meditation daily for many, many years. And so forgiveness was sort of a no-brainer for me. It was born of my experience over many, many years and of the students who were with me. Remember, there was 25 people with me in that hotel during that terrorist experience, and all of us across the board, even the wife and mother of the two who were killed, immediately responded with compassion.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's based on an understanding that everyone you meet in life offers you a possible experience you could have. They demonstrate to you an experience you could have. The terrorist demonstrates the negation of life, hatred, violence, and offers you that experience. Well, you can choose that for yourself, and then you become their disciple. And you get filled full of the negation of life and fear and hatred and revenge and violence, and then that becomes your experience. Or you can say, no, I honor that experience for you, even though I can't understand it. I allow you that experience because that's the experience that's happening. But I have to be responsible to myself and determine who do I choose to be in the creation of my experience responsibly in relation to you. And I'm going to choose love. I'm going to choose compassion. I'm going to choose forgiveness because that's what I'm going to fill myself with, and that's the contribution that I'm going to make to my world.
Beautifully said.
So, so based on that understanding, as I say, it was kind of a no-brainer for us. We wanted to maintain our experience of love and compassion and gratitude within the celebration of life and have compassion for terrorists who are obviously really full of conflict and suffering.
Yes. So you become almost the empathetic observer, in a way, to say this is horrible. These people are ignorant, or they're suffering, and they don't understand. But I understand their hate. I understand their suffering, and therefore, I'm going to allow them to be who they are. And hopefully, maybe someday they'll transform into not having to murder people. Is that sort of what you're coming
to? Well, it's based on an understanding of the holistic models of reality. They are the most ancient and time-honored philosophical systems, philosophies of life. And holistic models teach us that, in essence, all and everything is one, whether you call it life, whether you call it source, whether you call it consciousness, whether you call it God, makes no difference.
Right.
The essence, the ground of being, the substratum of all and everything is the same consciousness. Mm-hmm. And yet, within our individuated experience, there's the evolution of that consciousness, meaning we experience, and through our experiences, we grow. We grow toward wholeness and ultimate fulfillment. And in that process, the measurement of our growth is really self-awareness.
Yes.
How aware are we? How alive are we? How awake are we within our own experience?
Mm-hmm.
So we then understand that all experience is really valid, because it is through anybody's experience at their level in the evolution of their consciousness how they are growing. And they may have minimal self-awareness because that's where their feet are, but I can't judge them for that.
Right.
I can only honor the experience of their consciousness growing, the same as I honor the experience of my consciousness growing at my level of self-awareness. So based on that, I become inclusive to the whole of life, to the whole of God, to the diversity of unity. And I allow it to be the way it is, and yet within it responsibly determine who I'm choosing to be in each moment.
Oh, beautifully said. You are a master, Charles. Yeah, you know what? I'm with you. I'm just trying to get there. I'm taking the walk up the hill. I read your book, and it was amazing.
We're all walking up the hill. It's an eternal forever, hill of evolving consciousness, no?
Oh, it sure is. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, Master Charles Cannon, a modern spiritual teacher, the founder of the Synchronicity Foundation, developing high-tech meditation as a primary practice to help us. And, of course, we're talking about his latest book called Awakening from the American Dream, From Crisis to Consciousness. This is not a I Hate America book, guys. This is not what it's about. It's not America Sucks and, you know, no, this is not what we're doing. We're talking about how to transform yourself and sort of recreate your life. Wake up. Wake up. I used to go to these seminars with this person, and she'd say, wake up. I'd sort of be early in the morning sitting there and with my coffee or tea or whatever, and she'd scream, wake up. But it sort of helped me, actually. So let's get to talking about your book, Awakening from the American Dream. Master Charles, you quote John Nestler as saying, the American dream has undergone a metamorphosis from principles to materialism. When people are concerned more with the attainment of things than with the maintenance of principles, it's a sign of moral decay. So how did the American dream kind of turn into such a nightmare anyway?
Well, first of all, a dream is exactly that, a dream. It's an illusion, a fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's not real. So when you go to sleep at night, you don't really know what kind of a dream you're going to have. Most people have kind of normal dreams, but occasionally you have a nightmare. But bottom line, it's a dream. It's not real. The dream really turns into a nightmare, and especially the American dream, when we believe that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And we get identified with it.
Mm.
Now, what's the primary deception in the fantasy of the American dream? And that is that we are separate and different from each other and from everything in the world that surrounds us, and that happiness or fulfillment in life must come from outside of ourselves. Through some future result.
Sure.
So in believing such a fantasy, we're really forfeiting our power and limiting ourselves in conflict and suffering.
Yes.
So it becomes this nightmare again when we get identified with it as real and then live it as our experience.
Hmm. Beautifully put. Throughout the book, you eventually talk about the awakening impulse, something that we really need to get to in order to feel happier. And you call it a positive force in our lives. What is that force, actually?
Well, this book is about the awakening impulse and the evolution of individuated and collective consciousness. Mm-hmm. And the awakening impulse is the evolutionary momentum in consciousness or life.
Okay.
And it's based on its primary intention, the consciousness that we are, the intelligent energy of life that we are, that is called consciousness, has but one primary innate intention, and that is to ever more fully be itself, to know itself through the experience of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so this impulse is operative in all forms of consciousness, including human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Again, its measurement is self-awareness.
Right.
And the more it increases, the more aware we are of that unity, that consciousness, that life within all diversity, and the interconnectedness and the interrelatedness mm-hmm. of all and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But this is consciousness as essence, as substratum and ground of being.
Mm-hmm.
And since consciousness is only one, there is only one, it is innately fulfilled. It's a self-delighting energy.
Yes.
Therefore, it is innately happy. So mm-hmm. if we awaken to it, if that awakening impulse actualizes in our experience, which it eventually will in everyone's experience,
mm-hmm.
what we discover in essence is that we are already innately happy.
Mm. Yes.
The very energy that we are, the life force that we mm-hmm. are, that
yep.
bubbles and delights mm-hmm. and animates all and everything, is a self-delighting energy. And
yes.
if we tune into that, we find our fulfillment is really not outside of us
mm.
in the pursuit of happiness, according to the American dream, but really inside of us, innately.
Mm-hmm.
And that we need to cultivate that awareness and tap into the happiness and fulfillment that is our birthright.
Yes. You know, that's so profound. And to sort of start getting on that journey, you suggest that we ask ourselves five classic questions. You call them the five W's. This sort of tracks our movement, right, from the dream mm-hmm. towards sustained wakefulness. So what are these five W's, and how can asking ourselves these questions really help us?
Well, the five W's are the classic five words that begin with W, mm-hmm. which are who, what, where, when, and why,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to position them so that they reflected the journey of evolving individuated consciousness.
Okay.
And that begins in what we would call the asleep state,
mm-hmm.
or the state that is characterized by the dominance of the ego-driven mind mm-hmm. and the virtual reality that it creates based on an illusion of separation of subject and object, meaning
okay.
I am separate and different from you, I am separate and different from all objects that I encounter,
mm-hmm.
and thus I must compete
right.
in order to get the necessities of life that will fulfill me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the asleep state, governed and dominated by the ego. Mm-hmm. The awakening state then progresses out of that, where mm-hmm. we begin to glimpse mm-hmm. the trans-egocentric reality of oneness, of interconnectedness and interrelatedness, that we're not separate and different from mm-hmm. everything, but there is an essence that unites us all.
Yes.
If I look into your eyes, what do I see looking back at me mm. but the same life?
Yeah, yes.
So the awakening experience sort of opens that and mm-hmm. then causes us to question, and to doubt our experience to date, our experience of the ego, of that virtual reality. It begins to crack and crumble.
Mm-hmm.
And then we question it, we doubt it, we pull it apart, and progressively then the awakening increases and increases, and we move into the awake state, meaning it's more substantiated. We are more aware consistently of the oneness of all life and the interconnectedness and interrelatedness. So these five W's sort of match that and follow that progression. And I put what first, based on a more egocentric approach, which is, what can I get to enrich myself, inflate my ego, and get fulfillment from outside of myself?
Hmm. Okay.
If you ask that question, you say, wait a minute, I'm stuck in this illusion that fulfillment has to come from outside of me.
Yes.
Happiness, love, everything has to come from outside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm always in conflict if I don't get it.
Yes.
And my conflict then results in suffering.
Right. It's always you're wanting, you're out there, you're waiting, you need from others, you need this child, you need these people to love you, it's always... really got to start from within.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And then the second one is why.
Mm.
This is the beginning of the awakening process, the awakening impulse actualizing. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing all this?
Yeah.
Is this all there is?
Yeah.
Is this all there is to life? You know, the hamster on the wheel?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm going to spend my whole life seeking and competing to acquire content that then represents my identity, or I am my stuff.
Yes.
You know, if I have enough wealth and enough things, then I have some kind of worth.
Right.
But that what kind of worth is that? Net worth at the expense of self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you're
so
not,
why mirrors that kind of awakening impulse actualizing?
Right. And you're not saying that, you know, accumulating wealth or having abundance is a bad thing, necessarily. You're not saying
that. No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not saying that at all, but I'm saying if it is the be-all and the end-all of your experience, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because you aren't including the interior, the subjective aspect of your being as consciousness, which is already innately fulfilled and happy.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness comes from the outside, yes, but it also and most predominantly comes from the inside.
And don't you have to be able to recognize the happiness out there? The only way you can recognize it is if you have it within yourself. Because, it's almost like the mirror. But, I mean, you can't see it until you have it here within yourself.
Exactly.
Because you're going
to project it outward.
There you go. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But where does it come from?
Yeah.
It comes from what is innately within you already. It
right.
is the very nature of life.
Yeah. If your messages are always, I'm not worthy, I've never had a break, I'm unlucky, everything you perceive out there and want so badly is going to look like, just my luck. That's the way it is. They're not giving me this, or I always meet bad people to have relationships with, or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the third one then goes to who?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? Mm-hmm. This is, again, the awakening progression. You begin to question, based on your experience, say, who am I? Well, perhaps that's about being rather than doing.
Mm-hmm.
Being alive rather than doing life.
Mm-hmm.
Being consciousness. Being innately fulfilled.
Yes.
Just by virtue of the life force that animates me and empowers me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who am I really? In truth, I am this consciousness, this life that empowers all and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What beauty that opens up to me for the interconnectedness and interrelatedness of life. I sit in an office up on top of a mountain. And it's surrounded by windows.
Mm-hmm.
And outside the windows, as far as I can see, are trees.
Mm.
Trees and mountains. Now, if I sat here in this office and I looked at those trees from an egoic, illusory fantasy that I'm separate and different from them, then I have a very limited experience.
Mm-hmm.
But if I embrace the awakened truth and I say, wait a minute, all those trees are forms of the same life that I am.
Yes.
they're forms of the same consciousness that I am, then all those trees, as far as I can see, multiply me and magnify me to myself.
Mm. Wow. That's
who I really am. I'm interrelated, interconnected to all and everything that I encounter. Mm-hmm. And that fills me with great joy, mm-hmm. with great happiness, with great bliss. So that's who am I.
Let me ask you something real quick. What would you say to people, and I hear this every day, and I'm sure you have as well, who say, I live in a terrible neighborhood. I know that when I go out there, somebody's going to harass me. My life's a struggle. My parents were, you know, poor. I am not educated, but I'm trying because I try so hard, and people are judging me for who I am, and, you know, on and on. And I can't look out at the trees. I look out, you know, at the homeless person across the street who's drunk every morning. How would you help people who say this kind of thing to you?
The first thing I would say is you are the creator of your reality.
Mm-hmm.
You're the creator of your experience. Huh? And it is determined by what you believe.
Mm.
So look to your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
What you think is what you get.
Mm.
Bring a responsible focus to your own database. Look at your enculturated history.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to believe what you believe?
Yes.
And how are your beliefs flavoring your experience of reality today?
Yes.
And then reference that in relation to the truth that the most time-honored wisdom traditions and philosophies of life have taught for thousands of years,
yes.
which is this oneness and interconnectedness and relatedness of life,
mm-hmm.
and see where you might have to change some of your beliefs so that you can create a more truthful and fulfilling experience of life.
Mm. Beautifully said. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, Master Charles Cannon. He's the author of his latest book, Awakening from the American Dream. And it's a wonderful read, and it's good for you. And I really suggest you guys get onto it. It's helping you move from crisis to consciousness, you know, in the world. Also, let me just mention that Will Wilkinson was also a part of creating this book, along with Master Charles. And we're moving on. We're talking about some of the five W's to help you just consider, to get you towards awakening yourself. So we've talked about what, why, who am I, and then the other two questions you sort of need to ask yourself. Can you share those with us, Master Cannon?
The next one is when. And that's sort of asking, okay, when do I get happy?
Yeah.
When is fulfillment? Mm. And how about a truthful, awakened answer to that, which would be right here, right now, experiencing what I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I am consciousness,
mm-hmm.
And through this human form I'm growing and evolving, then this experience of consciousness right here, right now that is happening is appropriate.
Yes.
So therefore, if I embrace it wakefully and I open to that possibility of being consciousness, then I open to my own bliss.
Mm.
I open to my own innate happiness, and I find fulfillment in the wakeful now,
mm-hmm.
in the present, here and now, the true reality.
Yes.
And then the final one is where. Where should I choose to focus my attention? Well, where, in truth, is only ever here and now.
Mm-hmm.
Life only ever happens in the here and now, mm-hmm. of its happening. For I often say this to people, I say, be aware of your breathing.
Yeah.
Notice that you're breathing. Are you breathing yesterday?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you breathing tomorrow?
Right.
No. You only ever breathe in the here and now,
mm-hmm.
of true reality.
Right.
And so your breath can be a gateway into truthful experience in which you are more present, more wakeful, and more fully alive.
Yes.
And experiencing that innate joy and happiness that is your true nature. So where is always right here, mm-hmm. right now, breathe.
Mm-hmm. And you're not suggesting that people ignore in the now, you know, considering tasks that they need to do throughout the day or throughout the week. This is all part of being in the now, is sort of, we do plan for, oh, I see I have an interview coming up with Michelle on LA Talk Radio, or, you know, I see I have this going on. That's normal. I mean, we do need to do our tasks in life, whether we're at school or working or taking care of whoever, whatever. You're not negating the fact that we are always thinking and preparing, but we can do that by being in the now and, you know, being completely coming back to, okay, what am I experiencing now? Okay, what am I feeling now? Okay, what am I going to do now? Right?
Or the preparation that I'm doing right now for Dr. Michelle's interview mm-hmm. is the happening of consciousness for me mm-hmm. now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The mm-hmm. plans that I'm making mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. tomorrow, the meal that I'm cooking mm-hmm. to eat in a few minutes, is mm-hmm. the happening of life for me now. Mm. Am I wakeful, mm. fully within the present experience of mm-hmm. life that is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Or anything that is happening, my thinking, my reading, my driving of a car, my exercising every day, the eating of my food, can I live it consciously?
Mm.
Can I live it wakefully? And if I do, what's the difference to when I'm not awake?
Mm.
When I am awake, I am much more fulfilled. There's a peace. There's a happiness. There's a joy within my life experience.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm asleep and not awake, it's the opposite. I lose that joy, and I replace it with misery.
Mm.
So the choice
yes.
is always to be awake,
yes,
or to be asleep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone?
So I like your seminar leader's affirmation. Wake up!
Yeah, that was always an eye opener in the morning. He's screaming, "Wake up!" So, okay, I am. I get it. Mm-hmm. What would you?
And that's the kind of slogan that goes with this book, which
sure.
is "Wake up and be happy."
That's right.
Because if you are wakeful of true reality, mm-hmm. of holistic reality, mm-hmm. of the oneness of all and everything, mm-hmm. you open to the fullness of the experience of the innate happiness mm-hmm. of life.
Mm.
Wake up and be happy.
Right.
And that's why we created that. There's a sort of campaign that goes with this book, and it's called Wake Up and Be Happy.
Yeah. It's a great campaign, by the way. Mm. What would you say to those people who... and I know they have come to you as me and me as well, you know, they say, I have chemical depression. I've had a rough life. You know, I wake up and in the now I'm feeling really depressed. I'm trying to go through the motions of getting myself ready to get out of the house or do whatever I do, but I'm feeling this deep depression. I can't flip on a light switch and be happy. Would you say sort of embrace that depression because it'll move on, be in the now and feel it, and then let it go? Or how would you address that?
Well, I kind of look at depression as, in a sense, a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a well-documented
yes.
kind of psychological perspective.
Sure.
And that it points us back to ourselves. It says, okay, mm-hmm. look back into your own experience and determine how you learned this behavior. Mm-hmm. What caused it? What yep. was the trauma? What's the data that surrounds that? What's
yeah.
the belief? What's the emotion, mm-hmm. unconscious or conscious, that is today delivering that experience or actualizing that experience? Because we are our stories.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
the real question is, who are we without our stories?
Mm-hmm.
So if I can go back and find the stories that are limiting to me, that are negative to me, then I can unravel those stories and get to a place in my experience where at least I can see the possibility of moving beyond them.
Yes.
And then when I do, I can open to a more awake experience and heal myself.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I say to people, with such things as depression, don't try to walk this path alone. Mm-hmm. There is help available.
Yes.
And take assistance from a qualified professional, from a teacher who understands the mechanics.
Yes.
Of consciousness and can assist you through the process of awakening and healing, mm-hmm. and opening yourself to a whole new way of life.
Mm, beautifully said. We're talking to Master Charles Cannon, by the way, here on LA Talk Radio, the author of his latest book, Awakening from the American Dream, From Crisis to Consciousness. And it's a great read. Very easy to understand and follow, and he really points out a lot of profound teachings in this book that really helped me as well. And I'm actually passing a lot of these concepts on to my patients, Master Charles. I work, you know, in a cognitive, behavioral, and authentic manner with empathy, but this goes beyond. I'm quite spiritual as you are, but I'm not to the level of awakening, but working on it here. But, you know, I also work with people and their relationship issues, and I love how you address that here, you know, in your book. You say, don't blame your partner for failing to complete you. Turn to the mirror and ask what you can do to learn to grow and to explain your experience of universal love. Can you explain more about what you mean by that to help people?
Okay. Well, again, the difference is egoic versus trans-egoic experience.
Yes.
Or asleep.
Yes.
Versus sleep and dreaming versus being awake and fully alive.
Mm-hmm.
Egoic experience is based on illusory separation, which means that I need another to complete me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I need another to experience love.
Yes.
The trans-egoic experience is based on holistic unification, which means there is no other, mm-hmm. only mirrors in which I experience my reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So love, then, is never about another.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather about oneself. And I always love the quote from the Conversations with God book by Neil Donald Walsh when he says,
yeah.
Always ask that question of yourself, what would love do now?
Mm. Yes.
It's not about
yes.
how do I get love, or it's not saying I need love or I don't have love. It's saying to yourself, if you would experience love,
mm-hmm.
be loving.
Mm-hmm.
Bring love rather than seek love.
Yes. Yes.
Again, in a holistic context in which there is no other, you are responsible for your experience. So in every moment, bring love, live love, be love, and you will have a loving experience. And then what happens in relationships like that?
Yes. Yes.
If you are constantly coming from love,
yes.
you become a magnet.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be with you. You're infectious
right.
with love.
Yes.
It's like the bee to the flower.
Sure.
Huh?
Absolutely.
And everything becomes this fulfilling, delighting, joyously loving experience. Well, two people in relationship at this wakeful, conscious level of loving are miraculous.
Yes.
They're just absolutely miraculous mm-hmm. in their experience of life with each other and how they share the evolutionary process of growth and developmental self-awareness.
That's so true. And, of course, again, you're not advocating that someone, you know, endures an abusive relationship or someone has to, you know, of course, because you are an amazing master, you have learned to forgive terrorists and murderers. But, I mean, we try to learn to forgive, but we don't have to always be into that relationship. We can move on, as you said earlier. I love this part in your book. You say, talking about relationships, instead of avoiding the boredom by fantasizing about someone else, you can return to the moment and be fully present with your partner. You know, that marriage that seems loveless right now. His body may not look like the waiter's did. Oh, God, you're so funny. He has no Ferrari parked outside like the celebrity you saw online. He didn't bring you roses and champagne like the character in a movie you just watched. But he's real, and he's in your arms right now. I love the way you put that. That's beautiful. You're good. You're good. No, that's really true, is appreciating and loving. And just trying to get more in tune with that individual and, you know, with the source within you, we might say.
Exactly so. And, of course, acknowledgments to Will Wilkinson, who brings into the writing of this book the beauty of what you just read. So I always want to acknowledge Will as just a brilliant writer and the ability to help me express myself in such wonderful ways. But, of course, it's just talking about wakefulness in the here and now.
Yes.
Be present in your relationship. And if you can be present and alive and awake, then you flow with the happening of consciousness.
Yes.
That person who is there with you in that moment as an embodiment of the same consciousness that you are.
Yes.
And then you open to all the creativity and all the beauty of the exploration of that shared experience. And that's wakefulness in relationship.
It's almost like, you know, when we take these steps that you suggest in your book and sort of start awakening to what we really want and how we can live, in happiness every day, you always suggest, you know, just take these steps, be conscious, move forward. And again, in your book, Awakening from the American Dream, you clearly point out, you know, tools and steps we can use by asking these questions and sort of monitoring where we're at and changing our thoughts. You know, you quote many beautiful masters, and it really causes us to think about, oh my gosh, you know, you're right. What am I doing? Why am I on this hamster wheel? Why do I wake up every morning saying, oh, God, I have to go to this job, or, oh, here's my partner, what a loser. You know, you really help people with your book step by step, and it's very inspirational, and I so appreciate having you on the show. We're getting close to having to wrap it. We have a news break coming up, but I just wanted to let listeners find out how is the best way to get a hold of your book and find out more about you. And, you know, also you're the founder of Synchronicity. You have high tech meditation tapes available for folks. How can they get more information about you?
Well, the book is easy to access on Amazon.
Yep.
And it's available in both hardcover and digital editions, as well as you can get it through the Synchronicity organization, and that website is synchronicity.org, and it will give you all access to all information about me and my work, retreats and programs and books and products that I have created over the years.
Yeah.
But I'm all about modern spirituality. And
yes.
I always say it's modern spirituality in the digital age.
Yes.
Because that's the age in which we are living.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all about harnessing technology.
Yes.
For the evolution of consciousness.
Yes.
How can we use technology to support our growth?
Yes.
To support the evolution of our consciousness. And
yes.
In that regard, 30 years ago, I created this form of meditation called high-tech meditation, or using a sonic technology, a sound technology that you could listen to that would do what meditation is designed to do with more precision and efficiency, which is balance.
Yes.
Balance the two sides of the brain and open the wakeful, holistic self-awareness that results from that balance. And that high-tech meditation, of course, went global, and as the Australian newspaper, The Age, once said of me, he'll never win a Grammy, but he's gone platinum with meditation.
I love it.
And that's one of my favorite quotes.
That's beautiful.
And you know, all, it's very fulfilling to me, because that was my intention.
Good.
How can I share tools that help people to ever more fully be who they truly are and experience fulfillment in life.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are scientifically valid sound techniques and balancing techniques for your mind. And it just sort of helps you through meditation, because a lot of people think they have to become Zen masters or masters such as yourself. But you really help them into, you know, finding this state, which is beautiful. Master Charles Cannon, thank you so much, as always, for being on the show. It's always a just a treasure to have you. You're such an inspiration to so many people, and I really welcome you again on the show and your next book coming up.
Thank you very much, Dr. Michelle. It's my pleasure, and it's always a delight to share with you, and just continue with all blessings on the wonderful work that you do.
Oh, thank you. It means a lot to me. Take good care. Thank you so much again. Talk soon. Bye-bye. All right. Once again, Master Charles Cannon, and, you know, he has created this beautiful book. It's called Awakening from the American Dream, and it's sort of getting us from crisis to consciousness, no matter what's going on in the world. You know all the stuff going on in the world. Well, we can really not ignore it, but we can find our own path through going within. And if this is all too heavy for you today, you know, replay it again. You'll get it. It'll be up here and available on my webpage here on LA Talk Radio tomorrow with all the content and how to get a hold of Master Charles Cannon's book, find out more about him, and just be a little happier, guys. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. Then you'll be great for others, and that's the way it works. Have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you next Friday, 11 a.m., with more help to be happy here on LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye.